Welcome to All Things in the Name of Love. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and share. Thanks.
Welcome to another episode of All Things in the Name of Love. And today I have with me Roxanne Chaput. Oh, I did it right. I forgot to ask. And among other things, I already feel that you're a luminary, celestial guide, an earth shaman, an inspirational speaker, and a show host. And when I read your bio again the other day, I was so fascinated by how you came in already having this awareness. So I really want to start with there and how you've navigated your journey so far.
Yeah, I love that, Sophia. I think we all have this beautiful knowingness when we come back into, you know, the reincarnation process. And regardless of our religious structures, you know, of how we believe in faith, regardless, our soul matters energy and frequency, and our energy cannot be created nor can it be destroyed. So regardless of how we view that, it does signify that we've, you know, lived countless of life cycles. So when we come into, you know, this beautiful plane of being a soul being, we have this state of remembrance, but so much happens within the dynamics of our experiences and our life that we kind of come to a state of forgetting, of, you know, coming out of that state of knowingness and come more into the intellectual side of, you know, how can we process and how can we analyze how we are here? And for me, it was just, I always had this profound knowingness that I was being called to serve. I didn't understand what that capacity was. I always felt the angels around me. I always felt like I was being guided. I went through a surmountable amount of, you know, different experiences throughout my life that brought a lot of, you know, emotional densities and, you know, questioning of my belief systems. But I always knew that I was going to be okay. I always had the guidance, you are good, stay positive, and not in a toxic way, but in a way of knowing that everything happens the way that it's intended to. Mm-hmm. And it was just like this motivation and this inspiration to just keep going. And I remember, you know, people around me, family members, I had, you know, a step parent at the time. She was like, you know, everything that you've been through, like, how do you stay positive? And I was like, it's just because I know everything is going to be okay. And everything is there for my greater good. Like, I just, I already knew that. So as I went through life, I remember just trying to resonate, you know, with family and friends and be like, do you have this feeling that you are being called to serve, like this fire burning in your belly? And they're like, well, no, like I know I want to be like a doctor or a lawyer. And I was like, well, you know, that's amazing. But it was just something very different. And some of, you know, part of me thought that maybe I just thought differently of myself, or maybe just had like, you know, different sensories of feelings. And I remember, you know, as a young girl, adults would come to me for wisdom. They'd come and share their entire story. I'd be at a grocery store and all of a sudden they were sharing their whole life story and like, what path should I take? Like, what would you kind of, you know, do in this situation? Mm-hmm. And I remember my parents just being like, wow, like, you know, like what an old soul, but like, mm-hmm. you should really be a psychologist or, you know, like a therapist or something of that nature. And that just didn't speak in resonance with me. I knew that wasn't the way I was going to be serving, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
And I'm laughing because I had that all my life, like complete strangers coming up, sharing stuff I don't need to know.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, your wife and you aren't happy. I'm 5. Here, but this is what I would do. You know, this is what I'm feeling. I would go. But just like, you know, very funny and unique situations. And mm-hmm. I've always been a very deep conversationalist just because those deep conversations have always been brought to me. And I remember working in healthcare for over 13 years. I worked in a cancer center and every single patient, and I wasn't the psychologist or the neuropsychologist or the social worker of the program, yet they would come and they would share their entire story with me of mm-hmm. their entire life, their most profound fears when you're facing death, when you're facing that transitional stage of your life. It's no longer superficial conversations of, you know, what does the weather look like, or just trying to find compatibility. They want to share their story. They want to share everything that they've experienced. They want to almost disseminate that knowledge they have within them and gift it to somebody else, and for somebody to understand them, who they are at the fundamental level of, you know, what they kind of created their life on. And having all of those conversations, I remember, you know, so many of those patients would always refer to me as their angel, like the angel of light, and, you know, that they've helped them through a very, you know, profound journey. Many of the patients, you know, not just adults, but pediatric populations, were palliative, you know, so they weren't always in recovery or remission. So those conversations were always so profound and powerful. And I never realized that that was something that was uniquely my soul design, that was something that I inhibited or, you know, impacted into somebody else's life. I just thought everybody had these types of conversations. I didn't understand. So I went through life and I never discarded, but I always put that feeling not on a back burner, but it was just like, I couldn't place it. I couldn't place how I was going to serve. So it was like this missing puzzle piece that I didn't fully understand what that vision was going to entail. Mm-hmm. And then my first near death experience happened, and it just was so impactful, right? It was like probably a more profound awakening where it just shook me, you know, like you've been living your life on shoulds, coulds, and, you know, would, but are you living for yourself? And are you living for the authenticity of yourself? Are you serving in the capacity that you're meant to serve? At that time, I was an executive in the educational sector. And I was just like, I love what I do because I would find passion in everything that I do, but is it fulfilling in the way that I serve humanity? Mm-hmm. And the answer was no.
I have so much understanding and relatability with that, because when I was little, I knew just that knowingness that I was here for something. And I had no idea what it was. I knew I was going to be a doctor, but I didn't want to cut anyone open. So I went the academic route, only to find out that there's this modality called body talk that is actually aligned with my soul, but it didn't exist when I was 10. And I'm in Connecticut, and it was started in Australia. So like, it just wasn't going to happen until I was ready for it. And yet I tried so many different ways to try to fit in, to use my gifts, and none of them really resonated. And what's really fascinating is the first thing that came through was the podcast, and that was in 2018. And I was terrified. It's like, what do I have to say? And in 2019, my team came in and said, no, we actually meant it. And then I started it. And from there, it was like more and more expansion of like, okay, you have all of these amazing gifts. Here's how we're going to use them through you. And when I surrendered that of trying to figure everything else out, everything came in flow, and it still flows because I see things coming through that are not me so much as an application of the skills I have to help and assist and serve. And it's really this delight when you just allow that deeper wisdom to come through you instead of trying to figure it out.
Absolutely. And I think what happens when we connect with our team and with our spiritual guides, our animals, and everything that is there constantly guiding us in most, you know, primordial light of divine essence, it's always about those new levels of activations of consciousness, of those gifts that maybe, you know, you possess in countless of lifetimes before that you're now bringing into the metrics of your cellular complex, of your soul memory, and having that being released at the alchemy and at the timing that is exactly needed, right? And when we open ourselves to that flow of creation, of acceptance, of release of everything that is in within us without creating that resistance of the egoic mind. The ego is beautiful. It serves us in such great capacities. However, when it comes to our spiritual context, you know, we have a spiritual ego as well. It's to be able to surrender that, to be able to accept the knowledge that is being gifted back down into the consciousness. So for us to step into those gifts as needed, I'm sure you've seen this, you know, with working with animals, as I've seen this with working with beautiful soul beings, is that the gift that is meant to be utilized with that specific person that is activated within even that body of service of where you're focusing the intention happens in that moment sometimes, where that translation of knowledge just becomes that channeled wisdom of knowing exactly what to do and how to shift or how to move or how to be able to guide or facilitate or steward. So I think that that's just such a powerful thing. And I know for me, it was this beautiful transitional process that, you know, after that first near-death experience, it was like my whole world around me was being re-evaluated. It was being deconstructed from my belief systems, from what I thought I deserved in terms of relationships, of, you know, career, even relationships, friendships, things like that of that nature. Were they adding value to my life? And then from that expansion of understanding the intellectual body, how does it work in terms of our limited beliefs, our belief systems? It naturally brought me into this place where I was working on the center of intelligence of understanding the intellectual body. And then moving naturally into the emotional body. How do I release the emotions that have been compressed within my body? How do I release things that are sitting within the tissues, within my muscle fibers and things like that to be able to release? And then it was like this natural ability where I was being guided, following our soul guidance of going more into the energetics and the spiritual and the physical body. How do I release this from the body in somatic movement and through body movement? And through like different energetic modalities, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it all happens in beautiful stages of progression, because we can't, it's not that we can't handle the knowledge all at once, because knowledge is, you know, it's that wisdom, but it's to be able to integrate that knowledge and that wisdom mm-hmm. that is being gifted. So it happens in these beautiful incremental stages. We're always going to be accumulating another, you know, piece to the puzzle to be able to understand the bigger vision, to be able to understand the unlocking of the many, many gifts that we have within us. That magic is limitless. We are limitless. And as we evolve and as we grow and as we expand, we unlock even further.
No, I love that you brought up that point of the integration, because I know that, and I had this experience yesterday, and I've known this for a long, long time. Slowing down. I always bless my food and I bless my water, but to slow down while I'm doing the blessing, and then past that to intentionally chew. Now, I've known this and I have done it in the past, but now for some reason it's coming in like now you're ready to fully integrate this. And so I watched myself as I've been eating for the past 2 days, you know, yesterday and today, how slow I am. And I love it, because the shift in the frequency, and I was guided this morning while I was eating to listen to Beautiful Chorus and their song Faith. And it, I could feel the shift. My temperature rose, the frequency of the food rose, everything rose, and it was because I was ready to shift that aspect of me into a higher frequency.
Absolutely. And I think there is this beautiful component as well, is that we allow ourselves to eat and to accept the food as it is. And I know for, you know, just from my personal self, like when I do breath work before I'm about to digest something within my body, it's about asking my body to accept what is being gifted and given, as well as, you know, what is being blessed in terms of the vibrational frequency that's entering the body, of having that acceptance of being able to be okay with it and to, you know, help also work with the body. Because a lot of times, you know, our digestive system, as you know, I think we're seeing this prevalation throughout the world, is that there are so many digestive issues because we're not asking our body to accept what is being gifted into the body, to be able to digest it the way that it needs to be digested, on top of the vibrational frequency of it going into the throat chakra, down into the heart, essentially, right? And then moving down to the intuitive knowingness, to the sacred womb. So I think that all that part is asking the body to also accept what is being gifted. It's like that sovereignty of choice, right? The freedom of choice in all multidimensional layers is, I find, is super powerful.
And it's such a fascinating path to remember the multi-layers of sovereignty and how that shows up in so many ways, because we are source incarnate. And our free will choice gives us the opportunity to experience and shift perspectives and step into different frequencies depending on our ability to receive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when we think about, you know, the vibrational frequencies of the laws of nature and the guiding principles of not just the universe, but the omniverse, allowing ourselves to receive is one of those laws, right? Of that receivership, of that reciprocity of the exchange. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important as well, as, like you said, like everything is vibrational frequency, right? From everything that we eat, from the mics that we're speaking in. So it's about coming from this place of acceptance and not having that energetic resistance with everything that we are surrounding ourselves with at every given moment. And I think that that is in itself is very powerful. Mm-hmm. And when I think about, you know, our soul knowingness, is that that knowingness understands that there's just so many elements that happen within our centers of intelligence, within our, you know, our chakra systems, that kind of deter us on a different path at times. But it's about always that, you know, as you know, always energetically clearing, always making sure that the space is being gifted. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, you know, a really key aspect.
I am being guided to share an observation I had. So I have a Healy device, which is a frequency device. And yesterday I went to the coast of Oregon and I ate fish and chips. They were beautiful. I blessed them. So what happens is I run meridian programs.
Yeah.
And that one day of eating out of alignment spiked my lymphatic system, my digestive system, and my spleen, pancreas. All the meridians. And I was like, this is so fascinating to be able to see the frequencies of like what we carry in each moment. And the left brain of me, the former historian, geeks out about that.
Love it.
Because my right brain already knows it. I already know consciousness. I am consciousness. But that part, and that's how I play with the ego part of me, is like, okay, you need to focus on something. You're very highly attuned. You're very developed. Go play here.
Yeah.
This is helpful for you. It's not news. It's not politics. It's not anything like that. This is actually useful application of your skills. Go play.
Yeah.
And that way I actually feel more balanced. And it feels like that part of me that loves, this curious part, I've always been curious. So that's that feeds that curious aspect of me. So it doesn't feel like I'm ignoring it or rejecting it or shaming it. It's just, here you go.
I love that. And, you know, I was coming across a study that was done the other day, which has now been proven, but in relation to our vibrational frequency, especially when we travel, sometimes, you know, the health choices that we're able to put into the body sometimes aren't to, you know, our highest elevation in terms of, you know, what is best for us. But I don't really believe in so much, you know, good or bad or things like that or shame around anything that we put into the body. But there was this aspect that as we raise our vibrational frequency independently, and whatever, you know, nutritional value that we kind of absorb into the body's natural ability is to break down the production of it at a higher frequency because it's already elevated in frequency of vibration. So I thought that that was really a really cool, you know, fact that frequency is everything, right? That vibrational frequency, and not just the association to food, but, you know, on daily interactions, like how that impacts all of our, like our energetics. Like it's just so powerful.
Yeah. It's so fascinating because that, and to break down frequency even further, my car talks to me.
I love that.
She's got a personality. Her name is a grand old dame. She's a 20-year-old BMW and she talks and she expresses herself in various ways. And it's just a reminder that this illusion of separation is when you slow down and feel the energetics makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, everything has soul matter. Everything has energetic frequency. If it came from the earth and if its existence in this, even in this world or in the omniverse, it comes from energetic frequency. Mm-hmm. And this was a teaching that was gifted, you know, so long ago from our elders, is that regardless of the land, you know, because there was this apprehension as we were shifting into more of technology-based modalities, mm-hmm. opposed to just more of the traditional practices. And when we really like had those more profound conversations, it was like, everything came from Gaia. Everything came from Mother Earth. Everything has energetic frequency and soul. It's part of her soul matter. If it was created, our walls, everything has soul. When you walk into a home, you feel the soul essence of the home, right? Mm-hmm. When you walk into an office space, you feel the soul essence of the office space. So to say that, you know, those exchanges aren't happening at the quantum level or at the metaphysical level, it would be almost negligent for us to say, because vibrational and frequency, it's like sonar. We are always receiving and accepting information and how we translate that information, like our Wi-Fi, like, you know, the rays of the sun, how it interacts with our body within our energetic metrics. So it's like, we're always having these beautiful exchanges. And it's to understand what those exchanges and translation are being, you know, re-said to us, if it's in light language, if it's in just, you know, the frequency of vision or frequency of, you know, of words, translation, charades, like it comes in so many different forms.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I'm being guided to share this. The last research job I did, I was up at the Oregon Historical Society, beautiful building. And I was going upstairs and going through documents, and within 5 minutes I was just yawning. So I wanted to take a nap, and I've never actually felt that. And it was because I was raising my frequency, and the frequencies of all of the objects and the beings that had attached themselves to the objects were picking up on my frequency, and they were like, and so I talked to my mentor at the time. I'm like, what is that about? And she said, oh, it's because you're feeling those energies. And I'm like, well, I've always been tired of museums. I love museums, but I've always been tired. Like I get done and I'm like wiped for the day. And I couldn't figure out why. And then I had the awareness, and then I was guided to make a couple of essential oil sprays and call on Archangel Michael. And then when I did that, I was actually able to finish the research job. But like for the first week, I was just, Like trying to go through things, it was just so heavy. So it's such a fascinating space because it is the objects too that carry frequency. And what I've seen with animals over the past 6 months, when we have animals have been emotional support, they don't want to be that anymore. And so when you come home, if you've been in a space, regardless of what space you've been in, clear your energy before you come in home, come inside, because they're picking up on that energy. And it's this beautiful space of taking accountability for who we are and how we show up in the world on a deeper level.
And I think it's accountability over our own energetics, right? Of not having that enmeshment of kind of the messy energetics, understanding we are human and we are going to have those emotional densities, you know, vibrate through our body as we're meant to feel them. But it doesn't mean that we have to project them onto any one person or any one being or any one thing, right? So it's understanding that we are accountable for that. That is within our metrics of control to be able to understand how to clear that energy, how to reset our energy, and how to come back to this beautiful place of grounding that frequency so that our exchanges are still beautiful. Doesn't mean that we're not going through the densities that we're going through, but we're not, you know, literally emotionally vomiting onto other people in terms of that context, right? And I think one of the best teachings that I've ever had from our elders and from another person that has stewarded me throughout my life is just that your energetics are yours and somebody else's energetics are theirs. And it's almost like there's like this unprofessional, not even just unprofessional, but just like this unwavering metrics of not being able to have that dissonance in somebody else's energetic frequency to be adding value, right? And to have the grounding within your own energetic frequency so that they can have grounding within their own frequency. So it's almost like that mirroring effect, right? Where we're mirroring one another. And that's what we are. We're mirrors to one another. We mirror our exchanges, we mirror our energies. And we feel everything through our sensory, especially as if you're empathic, right? You're going to feel, even though the energetic frequencies are trying to stay clear, you're still going to feel the sensories of those emotions go through the body and being able to process that as well. Because a lot of people that are empathic don't even realize why they're so disrupted or why they're so, you know, bothered or sad or, you know, anxious, because a lot of the times the energetic matrix is not actually theirs.
It's such a fascinating space to tune into and become aware of the vibrational frequencies of yourself and others, and how to be able to shift those within oneself, because you can't change how another person shows up, but you can change how you respond to them.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I'm sure you can kind of attest to this as well, is being in a place where we're stewarding or guiding or showing what are in the realms of possibility. We also show by demonstration of not just what we say and how we speak, but how we actually live and how we conduct ourselves and how we interact with one another. When I see someone who is living in deep inner peace and has such a calm way of living and energetic disposition about them and is so loving and so compassionate and so kind, it begs the question, how do I have that exact same energetic frequency? So I feel like we model by being and not, you know, model by saying. It's just like modeling by being. I know, like, just for myself, I just went to this beautiful speaking engagement. There was hundreds of people there, and it was all about energy, and it was a beautiful, beautiful event. But the energy frequency there, because a lot of people were newer to understanding their own, you know, their own multidimensionality. But there was this hesitancy because they're in a place of where they're still in that place of anxiousness, where they're not understanding where their path is leading them.
Mm-hmm.
But then they come into connection with someone who's very calm and emanating something very beautiful to them. And that speaks more profoundly than any words that I can speak when I'm speaking or when I'm mm-hmm. teaching. So I think when we come back to that place of being, that is the mirror, just like, you know, when we're with our children or with our family or with our loved ones, regardless of the history in terms of our generational past and experiences and, you know, the wounding that comes with that, when we show up and we change our epigenetics and we show what is in the realm of possibilities of how we can conduct our lives and how we can live our lives, that right there is the modeled behavior which starts healing the generations behind us and the generations ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
Not coming from a place of emotional reactivity, but coming from a place of kindness, compassion, and grace. And also a place of forgiveness, of forgiving ourselves when we feel like we're not coming in our best way, in our highest self, in these interactions as well, mm-hmm. right? So
mm-hmm.
how my kids saw me behave and, you know, react or interact with people several years ago is much more different than it is now. And I see that shift naturally happen within them, just as I see that shift happen with my parents, my aunts and my uncles and my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beautiful to be able to witness that, yeah. right? So
yeah, no, I love that, because when it's that, the shift from what do I have to do to how do I just show up? It's such an amazing way of being. And this is funny. So a few weeks ago, I went to a local grocery store and a gentleman was standing outside and he saw me. And I was in sweats. I'd just gone for a walk. I'm not anyone special, but I am, because we all are.
Yeah.
And he followed me in the store and I was getting myself flowers for my birthday. And, mm-hmm. and honestly, like he like, I've never had anyone do this. I was kind of like, it was kind of creepy, but it was also kind of sweet because he felt my vibration and he didn't know what to do with it. So, I mean, he followed me, like watched me check out and followed me out to see where the car was. And I was like, you could say hi.
Yeah.
But it was my frequency. And he was just taken aback by it because he hadn't felt it before. And I really wasn't doing anything. I was just being in that space of like, oh, I'm going to get myself some flowers for my birthday. And I'm excited that, you know, nothing, but nothing really crazy, just doing that. And so it was really fascinating to see how just by our beingness, we can shift perspectives and energies.
And I think that was a beautiful testament to where your energy was in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I always attribute this to when I go out, it's like we're taking this magical little paintbrush and we're just painting people with clarity or with, you know, with an uplift of vibrational frequency of, you know, ooh, of curiosity, like, oh, why does she look so happy and fulfilled, you know, mm-hmm. and she's not with anybody, you know, like we have so many perceptions. So it's just like, it's so beautiful to witness. And I love how you said about we're human beings, right? We're not human doings.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this place where we have to do something in practice to be able to transfer the knowledge or, you know, to be able to share what we have. I believe that everything that is meant to be on your path will naturally be on your path. And I believe in soft action, but when we're pushing or we feel forceful or feel like we have to create something or we have to, you know, we have to do something to be able to get something out in terms of our messaging or, you know, our healing modalities, it comes from a place of very forceful behavior where we're in an unhealthy kind of masculine state where we're pushing. Mm-hmm. And that's not the law of creation. The law of creation is a state of allowance, surrendering, and remembering. and of allowing what is meant to be on our path to be on our path. I'm not a seeker of knowledge. I allow the knowledge to be on my path. I allow the decision to be on my path. I'll make a soft action. And if it doesn't, if it's not meant to be on my path, it will no longer be on my path. The people that are meant to come into my teachings or to meant to understand, or I'm meant to learn from, and they're meant to learn from me. It's like this natural, beautiful fluctuation of that law of creation, which is the law of vibration and frequency. What is meant to be in our, you know, in our energy field will naturally be in our energy field without forceful action.
And that is such a beautiful shift, because our collective consciousness is very much in that masculine state of pushing and expect it, you know, pushing and expectations, I think, is a great way to put it. The other night I was guided to create a workshop and start developing courses, and I've never had that guidance before. And so it was really fun to be in that space of seeing what was coming through. And as I'm doing it, I'm like, okay, so what's my next step? And I just wait for the next step, because I can force things, but that doesn't feel good.
Because it creates that very resistance, and that goes against, I know a lot of people might refer to this as the law of attraction. I don't necessarily believe in the law of attraction. I think that that's, it's more of a minor law in terms of the guiding principles, but the guiding principles are the law of vibration and frequency and law of creation, right? Of how we create our reality. And when we're forcefully, you know, wanting something or pushing something forward, we're creating that very resistance to the very thing that we are truly desiring and wanting to create. Is creating comes from releasing all expectations to outcome. It's not the why, it's not the how, it's not the when, it's not the what, it's what will be, right? It is as it is, as it's already so. So that law of creation, of releasing expectation to outcome, is very, it's a very calm, it feels very simplistic, but yet it's very complex, because we're always taught that we have to be in control of external, you know, ways of bringing in revenue, or to be able to share our message, or how we can, you know, reach more people. But as soon as we release that expectation to outcome of instant gratification, or, you know, I should be getting this, or I want this, I want to create this for my life. As soon as we surrender that expectation to outcome, it's almost an imminent exchange, because it now releases all of the resistance that we create, right? So when I say that I want, you know, to reach 1,000 people, you know, an additional 1,000 people with my message, or to, you know, help inspire them, and I'm holding on to that, I just now limited myself to those 1,000 people, when in reality, the metrics of creation would have been maybe 10,000 people or 1,000,000 people that it would have connected with. So we limit ourselves, and we create the resistance of everything that we're actually wanting to create for our life by doing that.
That is such a beautiful reflection, because it's such a reminder of how, when we go through our programs, how limited we become, or we are. And then it gives us the opportunity to find where that is, because I love somatic work too. Find where it is in your body, that resistance, and just be with it.
Yeah. And my body of work, of where I was guided, I do a lot of channeling for the Golden Order and for the Seraphim. And what was brought to me in terms of delivery of the modality doesn't mean it's the one all be all, but what it has brought me to was the complexities of the multidimensionality of our being. And when I refer to the centers of intelligence, it's not just including, you know, that all the meridians that are throughout our body, but the main like chakra system are our centers of intelligence. And we're just now discovering in science that these are actually considered brains, right? So that's why I'm referring to them as centers of intelligence, because they make decisions, they gather information, and they hold information within them. within the neurological complexities of the brain. So now we know we have a brain in our heart. We know we have a brain in our intuitiveness. I think it's just a matter of time that we're going to discover that we have one in our throat. We already know we have one in our third eye, and it's going to go down to, you know, our sacral, and then it's going to go down to our root. And when we hold on to these pieces of information, when we come from the root, a lot of that is the lineages that we've come from before, and not just in this lifetime. This is a reincarnated that is kind of held within our triple helix. And our triple helix is our third DNA strand that has been proven. So we have a third DNA strand. We don't just have two DNA strands. We have three DNA strands. And that third DNA strand is your soul memory. And that's called the triple helix. That is seated a lot of the times. Well, it's woven throughout the entirety of our multidimensionality. But where it sits within the ancestral wounding, genetics, patterns, cycles, sits within the root. So if you were raised with limited beliefs of, you know, having financial scarcity or having unhealthy connections to love and romance and relationships and all of these things in terms of tradition, that sits in the root. And when you're looking to manifest, right, and create your reality, all of your centers of intelligence, if they're signaling a different, they're emitting a different signal as you're mm-hmm. creating, because this is sitting in the fundamentals of your root or within your sacral room or within your intuitive knowingness or within your heart space or your throat or, you know, the third eye, mm-hmm. the crown. All of these elements are, it's like, you know, like, you're emitting a frequency, but yet the frequency is conflicting, right? It's conflicting mm-hmm. information. It's saying, oh, I deserve a healthy love and I want a healthy love. But at the root level and at the heart space is saying, I'm not worth it. I can never have that. I've never seen it.
Right.
You know, I'm not deserving. Same thing with the financial component. You know, I want to be a millionaire. I want, you know, financial abundance. Yet in the egoic mind and in the heart space is saying, why you? Why would you ever get this? How would this ever come to be? Right? There's so many things that conflict when we're emanating our vibrational frequency mm-hmm. and everything is vibration. So those unpatterned thoughts within the subconscious, within the hyperconscious, all affect within all of our chakra systems, within our centers of intelligence, and emit mm-hmm. how we create life and how we create the life that we desire.
Mm. That is fascinating. And it makes so much sense, because if we have one of our chakras, I visualize them as orbs or spheres that spin. Yeah. And if one of them is counterclockwise and the other is clockwise, and I hadn't ever thought of how it sends out conflicting frequencies, but it makes so much sense, because if they're not in alignment with each other, it's confusing.
And that's why harmonic resonance is so important, of going to the multidimensional layers, right? Mm-hmm. We can't heal the mind without healing the emotional body. We can't, mm-hmm. or the spiritual and energetic body. It all happens in cohesiveness and collaboration, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, if you have a gaping wound on your arm and you put a big boulder in it and then you expect your body to heal the way it's intended, it never will, because right. you're not getting to the root of the issue, what's causing the infection, right? Mm-hmm. So the same thing happens at the cellular complex of who we are, right? So everything is an imprint, an energetic imprint within our field, regardless if it's held in the body. The body just keeps scores of the symptoms. Mm-hmm. The body is just telling you that, you know, you're getting symptoms, and now all of a sudden you're in dis-ease, you're in disease, you're in progressive illness, but the body is signaling what has already been rooted within the energetic field.
Mm-hmm.
It's to understand that all those things emit frequencies of how we just function on a daily basis. Like you said, you know, they're like energetic turbines, right? They're turning. And if one's turning one way, one's turning the other way, the other one's like, I don't know, I'm flip-flopping between both.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're getting those mixed signals in all capacities.
Yeah. Mm. I love that description. So I want to talk a little bit about how you help others remember who they are.
For me, it's always dependent, and this is why my modalities always shift. It's always depending on who that soul being I am in connection with, because I always ask their highest self when they give me that permission to come into stewardship or into guidance. It's what do they need in this now moment? And a lot of the times it might be an emotional release that needs to happen before we can even get to the intellectual side of the centers of intelligence where belief systems lie. Sometimes it's somatic movement that they need to go into so that they can just release the pressure or learn how to properly breathe through their own breathing techniques. As soon as they come into the state of remembrance, it usually happens within their theta state. So when we go into theta state and when they go, what I typically like to do with anyone that I come into connection with is bring them through a death and dying ceremony. And this isn't scary. This is beautiful because we're always in a rebirthing cycle. We have a new life cycle every 7 years throughout our soul energetic body. So what this does is it brings us back to a place of where we were created so they can witness it for themselves. Mm-hmm. I can speak so much until they can just feel that resonance within themselves. Mm-hmm. And when they understand where they were created, what they came here to do in terms of contracts, what their soul design and what their soul mission and their sacred purpose is, it automatically shifts things exponentially where it already creates an internal awakening of them forth on a different path.
Wow. That is so beautiful. Just taking that in for a minute. It's so beautiful. I just want to reflect to you how much I honor your commitment to following your soul path. Because what I feel through you is so divine, and that you kept that inner knowingness as a guide to you to where you are now. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Thank you for being you.
You're welcome.
You followed your soul path, Sophia. Mm-hmm. And that's because we're having this conversation today because of that.
Thank you, soul sister, for sharing this incredible deep wisdom with me and my listeners. And I'm so, so grateful for you.
Okay.
And I want to ask one last question, and that is, how do people find you?
They can find me through my website at roxannechaput.com or through any social media platform under that name as well. I'm just looking to connect in any way, in any capacity, just try to make myself available. I don't stay on there too long, but... but if I get engagement, then I'm definitely always up for some very deep conversations and anything that I can be of service for.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And your beingness.
Thank you, Sophia. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too.
Thank you. Bye.
Can you help me redefine truth and preservation of our soul shine? I can feel it, yours and mine. Close your eyes and witness it inside. In your bones, you will know. Trust and let go.